Welcome, everyone, to the Smart Ass Success Teleseminar Series. This is week number 6, and today we are going to be talking with James Rick Stinson on the topic of refining your plan for maximum effect and efficiency. So I have James on the line. Hello there. How are you doing today?
Good, Avish. How you doing, buddy?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for being on this call and doing this. I'm really looking forward to this. So what we've been doing, this is for your benefit as well as the people who might be listening in, have joined the calls late. This is week number 6. The first 5 weeks of these calls, what we did is we showed people how to dig in deep, figure out what they want, get their mindset right, create a great plan. Then we gave them ideas on how to be productive and how to deal with the unexpected when it gets in their way. Today, it's really kind of cool because we're going to be talking with James about how do you take stock of how your plan's been working so far, and then how do you refine that, edit it, change it to make it more and more efficient, because we don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And, you know, James, I'm excited you're on here because I love your title is you are called Mr. Full Potential, and your website is fullpotential.com. And what I love is this seems like the perfect week to really talk about how do you take what you want to do and take it to its full potential. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Me too, Anish. I'm excited.
Super. Now, I want to find out and share a bit about your background so people know what they're listening to, but let's get to that later. I want to start just giving some people some content right away, you know, right at the top of the hour here. Let's hit them with some stuff they can use right away. So, you know, when you say full potential, that has some obvious meanings, but it might mean different things to other people. So why don't you just give us an overview? When you say, when you talk about full potential, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, no, it's actually a great question. Full potential can mean many things to many different people. And what it means in the context of the full potential mission and the purpose that I'm all about, it's about living life at a level 10 in the 7 major areas. So you have to define what those 7 major areas are now, and that's your physical, mental, and spiritual. Those are the big 3. And then your social, emotional, financial, and your environment. So basically, you create a vision of what it would be like to be at a level 10 in each of the major areas, and then you establish, okay, what are the best practices for moving closer to a level 10? So you've laid down the track, and then you've gotten clear on what the steps are to get there. And then it's really just about managing your life every day as you move towards that higher level of awareness, as you move towards that higher level of being, which is your full potential. So it's not about perfection. It's about really defining what it means for you to live at a level 10 in the 7 major areas and then taking action consistently, balanced action as much as possible in areas that are most in need of the action, so that you can continue to move and progress and grow towards your own full potential.
Okay. Now, that is both a succinct answer, but one that opens a whole slew of questions. And we're going to get to – a lot of what we're going to talk about is how we hit those in those 7 areas to really maximize our potential here. So – but I want to start with a few other things before we kind of go in deep on each of those areas. One of the things I read on your website preparing for this call – is you say full potential is a daily habit, not a one-time event. And I was wondering if you could talk a little about that, because I know a lot of us think that, oh, I just want to do this one thing and reach the pinnacle and done. So could you talk a little bit about what you mean by that comment?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that so much of our society, Western society, is aiming for that peak on the mountain. You know, we're climbing a mountain and we're going to reach it one day and it's going to be nirvana. But the reality is we are living day to day, and even after we get to the peak of whatever it is we're trying to climb, there's other peaks, there's other mountains, there's other ways in which we can experience peaks in our life, and it doesn't end once we make one summit. So really, full potential is a daily track. It's something that we reach for every day, no matter what accomplishments we have or have not achieved in our financial life or you know, the goals that we set for ourselves. So really it's about a maintenance routine of operating at the highest level of your potential. So whatever you are trying to achieve at this point in your life, you not only achieve it, but you are experiencing the highest levels of the power that you have available, and you're enjoying the process.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, because I know I've encountered this before, and I'm curious if you have and how you respond to it. Is, obviously, people like yourself, you know, this whole thing about living to your full potential just seems so obvious, like we'd all want to do it. But I find there are people you come across who, to them, it just sounds exhausting, and they're like, you know, I'm happy just living my life, you know, going to work, coming home, watching all TV. You know, do you encounter people like that? And do you think it's only this whole full potential thing is only for some people who really want to go out and achieve? Or do you think that maybe those people just don't have the right perspective? Or how do you respond when you encounter that mentality?
No, it's a great question. I mean, it's what makes you hungry? You know, and where is it coming from? And that's a big one, and we're about to go deep on this, so I hope you're ready, Avish. You know, I say that your ship, your life vessel, who you are as a human being, it's either run by your ego or it's run by your soul. And that can mean many different things for many people because it's kind of an abstract concept. But the bottom line is we have two fundamental forces in this universe that are either working for us or working against us. There is the force of organization, which is evident if you look at evolution, if you look at society, you look at civilizations, it evolves, it's growing more and more orderly, more and more organized. Life itself is evident to be organizing itself all the time, repairing itself and working against the conditions of the universe. And then the other force that's working against us all the time is the force of entropy. It is breaking things down. It is separating. It is dividing. It is destroying. And it is this force and counterforce that is constantly in motion in the universe. And that is what motion is. It's organization working against entropy all the time. And so when you say I want to live at my full potential, you're saying that I want to live at the pinnacle or the most organized level of my being, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And when you say that I don't care about those things, what you've basically done is you've settled into entropy. And it's not a good or bad thing. We can't really put a judgment on it. It's just not going to be the most enjoyable way to exist. And you can't know that because you cannot contrast good with bad unless you've experienced living in entropy versus living in a higher state of organization. But once you've experienced living life at a higher state of organization, when you start slipping into entropy, you will immediately feel the pain, and it will be enough to drive you to continue to move towards a higher level of organization.
Got it. So one of the things you're saying then is that some of the reasons people don't want to do this, it's just simply because they've never even experienced it. And you have to at least have that experience before you can make a decision. And in your experience, if you have experienced organization, you won't want to go back to entropy.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you've been walking around in a dark room and somebody's like, well, why don't you just turn on the light? And you're like, I don't need a light. I've gotten really good at feeling my way around. I know where everything is. And, you know, frankly, I'm comfortable. And it's like, well, you've never experienced the light. So how can you know if that's what you really want or not, other than unless you start searching deep within, we are always drawn to the light. We are innately, if we're tuning into our higher being, like what's this life about, who am I really, what am I really supposed to do, then we start awakening our potential and the light sort of guides us to the light metaphorically of living our full potential.
Wow, well, this is already some great stuff. Now, I know in the outline that I had sent you, just to give you an idea of what we talk about, I had not really – I don't think I had come across this organization versus entropy concept. So are you going to be able to explain to us a little bit how you can move your life from entropy to organization?
Yes.
Okay.
Entropy is a natural state of the universe. So if you do nothing right now, Avish, if everybody listening right now does nothing, welcome to entropy. It will break you down. It will be the path of least resistance. It will be the easy thing to do. Just go with the flow and not in like a spiritual sort of Tao sense, but going with the flow of eating whatever shows up and, you know, sleeping and not doing anything with your life with any sort of direction or any kind of inner guidance. And that's just the natural state. The universe will eventually break you down to the point of you may be sick or diseased and die. And that's just, you know, enter. The universe is always doing that. Now, organization operates against it. And you've kind of heard it in biblical context of, you know, the light versus the dark. But I'm referring to it strictly in neutral terms, that there is a force of entropy and there is a force of organization. And the force of organization is always trying to counter or adapt to the force of entropy. So very simply, if you want to work in a more organized way in your life, you have to organize your time better, which is a lot of what you're talking about here, especially when it comes to planning. To organize your energy better, you have to be deliberate about where you're headed, which is what the track of full potential is all about. So by moving on the track of living towards a level 10 in the seven major areas of life, you are automatically working against the force of entropy. And as we get into what some of the best practices are for your physical health and vitality, for your mental empowerment and clarity and perspective, for your spiritual attunement and alignment, as we talk about what some of those best practices are, you find yourself in a more organized state of consciousness.
Wow, that's great. So I want to going to pause in a minute here just to get a little bit about your background. Before we do that, I want to ask about one more thing, because even right now, I'm sure people listening are starting to feel overwhelmed in just the 10 minutes of content you've given. And, you know, when you look at this holistically, 7 weeks of content from this teleseminar plus everything else, it can get overwhelming. And but you talk about a way of unplugging, how to unplug and hit the, what you call the mental emergency brake. And, you know, this might be a good time to just talk about that a little bit, because there's just so much content coming to people right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And in fact, Avishai, so it's such a great point that you bring up, because before I plan my day, and before I start filling my life with more content, I make it a point to hit the pause button, to hit the reset button through meditation and through exercise. It's part of my routine in the morning. In other words, if I were to ask you right now, Avish, you know, what's your purpose in life? What do you want to do today? How would you like to take on the world? And you do it from a state of you've already gone through your email, you've already got a few phone calls, your brain is stirred up, you're going to answer in a very logical way. You're going to answer in a very almost ego-driven kind of way of what you want to achieve and what you want to do in your life. But if I say stop everything that you're doing, don't immediately go and start planning your day from an active mental state, slow down, relax, get into what I call a space break, which is laying down and breathing 10 breaths straight without thinking of anything else. And if you think of something else, start over again. You'd be surprised how long this can take you if your mind is active. You reach a point of stillness, and then from there, ask yourself, what do you really want to do? What's really guiding you? And the difference is you can't navigate through a lake that's all muddy. You know, if you were swimming and you had your eyes open and you're trying to see and navigate your way around, you're going to try to, you know, feel around, and you're going to stir up more mud. And that's what most people do throughout the course of their life. They never pause. They never allow the mud of their mind and the muck, the content and the media and the marketing and all these things that are coming in and stimulating their mind to settle. But when you do, simplicity. You find simplicity. You find clear guidance. And from there, you can really plan your true priorities instead of what maybe your parents said you should do or what your spouse said you should do or, you know, all these external stimulants. Instead, you can start listening to the inner guidance, and this is the voice that I talk about that wakes you up to what your true purpose is and where you should go. And really, life is much more simple when you plan your day starting with stillness and you find your true priorities.
Well, this makes a tremendous amount of sense. What I'd like to do is, if you could, is could you give us in kind of a tactical form, like would you recommend then to people listening every day what you're saying is first thing in the morning to just lay there and take 10 just kind of empty-minded breaths to clear their head before they start anything?
Yeah, in fact, this is really the crux of being productive and efficient, and that is routine. So, yeah, I would say that your evening and your morning routines are absolutely critical. And even throughout the day, your routines are important too, because yes, you'll get a lot of content, but really what where the rubber meets the road is when you start to condition that content into a repetitive behavior. Because what happens then, Avish, is that you no longer have to consciously think about it. And it's when the subconscious takes it over that you can relax consciously, because you just kind of do it automatically. An example of that is if you've ever gone to the gym so many days in a row, when you stop going to the gym, you'll feel this nagging sensation like you need to go. It's not even a conscious thing like, oh, I need to go. I know my health is important. It's kind of like, I just need to go. I don't know why, but I'm driven. I need to go. And so when you have this routine of stillness and planning your priorities from peace, and then whatever else you want to condition into your life, you add on top of that. And I have a whole routine I talk about through Full Potential. But basically, start simple. Start with the things that you absolutely know, not just you think you should do, but that you actually know in your heart that you need to do every day, and begin to condition those behaviors. And from that place of greater resourcefulness and power, you'll be able to add on other activities that might add to your bottom line financially. And then eventually you'll condition those routines to the point where you're just this powerhouse, getting the results that you want without thinking much about them, because you condition them into high-value routines.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny, because if there's one common thread I've heard throughout all of these calls, it's this starting simple, changing one thing, you know, not trying to bite off the whole thing, but just find that most important thing and just work on that, and then over time add to it, which is what sounds like you're talking about as well, with, you know, whatever the routine is, to just start simple and keep moving. So that
And I have three things that are the core. Even if my day goes completely crazy, it's the core. And the first one is always have a routine of getting back to stillness. Because if you don't have that, you'll never be able to start from ground zero again and plan and clarify and zoom out and do what you need to do. When we talk about really refining your plan for maximum effect and efficiency, you can't do that when your mind is muddled. And the mind gets muddled by default just through the course of the day. If you're doing email and you're doing instant messenger and you've got text messages and you've got phone calls, your mind is turning to mush. And if you're eating, you know, a lot of carbs and whatever, if you're eating foods that aren't actually alkalizing your blood, just by doing those things as a matter of routine, because that's the routine we've gotten in as Western society has advanced technologically, that's the routine that we're in right now. Your mind is going to get muddled, and if you don't have at least one activity that you do at least once a day to get your mind back to calm or get your mind back to stillness, then you're just going to be running around chasing your tail like a dog, you know, and it's not enjoyable. So the first key to your routine has got to be getting back to stillness, and I have what I call my space breaks that I'll do throughout the day, which, you know, it doesn't mean getting high, Avish. It means,
well, that's
it, means it means even if it's small blocks of time, even if you're like, man, I've only got 10 minutes, take that 10 minutes, lay down on the floor, close your eyes, and lay there, and then send waves of relaxation through your body over 10 or 20 breaths. And just that alone will help you to restore the balance that you're missing through the day. And just that routine alone will set the foundation for the other things you might want to add on to it.
Okay, so for that one, just for people who are listening who have never done this before, would you recommend that, you know, once an hour, a couple times a day? Like, just to start, what would you recommend to get started with that stillness?
I would say in the morning, you want to try to knock it out first thing in the morning. Like, yeah, you just woke up, but you'd be surprised how quickly, right when you wake up, your brain goes, oh, my gosh, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this, I need to do that. So first thing in the morning, conscious and deliberate, lay there, breathe in 10 deep breaths, clear the mind, and really what you're doing is you're telling your body it's okay to relax, and you're going through each body part and telling it it's okay to relax. You'd be amazed at how much your body is tense until you consciously put attention on it and say, it's okay to relax. Like, we're not in fight or flight anymore. Like, relax. And your body will relax, and you do that over 10 breaths. So you don't need to spend a lot of time doing it. And then what will happen is you'll feel it. As you go from a relaxed state to getting all wound up again through the day, you'll know when it's time to take another space break. And then just take the break. You know, find where you can lay down for 10 minutes and do this again. And then, you know, over the course of a day, maybe you'll fit in three of them. So a total of 30 or 40 minutes. But the benefit here is that you're not just meditating in the morning like I used to do, but you're actually dispersing these periods of balance restoration versus just trying to meditate in the morning and then running through your whole day, and then in the evening you don't even give yourself time to relax. So you'll feel it, the times when you need to restore that balance.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So what about the person who's thinking, hey, you know, I work, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm on my feet all day, or I work a cubicle desk, I can't just lay down in the middle of the floor three times a day. What's the recommendation to that?
Yeah, I would say use the bathroom as an opportunity to do this. You know, even if, yeah, it sounds a little weird and you're in the bathroom, whatever, if that's the only place you can go, look, it's that important. You know, because otherwise what you're saying is, look, I have no way to restore balance, which is kind of insane. Like, you may have a really tough schedule, but this is such a priority that nothing else is as important as becoming centered again and becoming balanced again. Like, that is the foundation for everything you do. When you try to relate with people, like, think about it. When you relate with people, which is what most people do that are in business, that are in, you know, any kind of work routine, they relate with people a lot of the time. Even if you're relating with them over email and the phone, you know when they're not being present. You know when you feel hurried or when they're not there, when you're talking to them but they're not home. And so if you don't think this is affecting your business relationships, if you don't think this is affecting your family, your friends, and your work associates, this is everything. This routine brings you to the center of who you are, so you have your power that you can be present to, and then you can bring that power of presence to anything else you do in your day.
Right. It's funny because it sounds so simple, but usually the most powerful things are just really simple things that, you know, we're choosing not to do. You
actually aren't doing anything than clearing out the mud. It's kind of like when you say, well, gosh, it sounds simple. Basically, if I stop stirring the mud, the water becomes clear. That sounds so simple. You mean I don't actually have to do anything? No, that's the idea. You're doing too much. So when you talk about people being overloaded with content, what I'm saying is get the water clear first and then choose what content you want to hold in the water when you actually do it. That will bring you more power, and you'll be more effective in the results and applying whatever it is that they've learned or that they're going to try new and create into a routine. It will be very difficult to add anything to the water if it's already murky and muddy and filled with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you had mentioned that there were three core things you make sure you do even if everything else goes crazy in your day. I don't know if you were just saying that to let us know that stillness is one of them, or if you wanted to share what those other two things were that you make sure you do.
Yeah, there's the three pillars that form the most power in any human being is the physical, so exercise, heart-pumping exercise, the mental, which is some form of learning or training, which like they're doing here in an audio or video or written format, and then the spiritual, which is what we're talking about essentially when we talk about realigning with your core and rebalancing. In a way, what we're saying is you're returning to who you really are. You're returning to your source of power. And so it's actually it's kind of a spiritual practice, whether you pray or not. You are returning to the energy that drives this machine, if you will. So these are the three pillars, your physical strength, your mental strength, and your spiritual strength. And when you are present to your power, you are able to more effectively do the other things like physical exercise and like reading or learning because you're bringing a space that's available to put new stuff in or to perform an activity from a place of presence.
Wow, great. Okay, so now I got to kind of put the brake on this, you know, talking about mental break because I think we've just been going here and I'd wanted to pause early on just to give a little background on you, but you know, everything you said led to more questions and was great content. So let's just pause now. And for people who, you know, are obviously you've been giving some great content already, but, you know, for people who want to know a little bit about you and kind of how you got here, could you just give us, like, the 20-second summary of your journey and what got you to this kind of Full Potential project that you're on?
The 20-second summary. I wanted to have more good days.
I'll give you 30 seconds.
Yeah, thanks, Avish. Very generous of you. I wanted to have more good days than bad days, confused, in pain as an adolescent teen, and could go down any path, you know, but I chose to identify what the factors were that would cause me to have more good days than bad days. And believe me, I was way off in the beginning thinking it was just maybe the shirts I was wearing or, you know, all kinds of crazy things. But eventually I started to land on the truth, which is that I control whether I have good days or bad days because of the way that I choose to respond to the situations in my life. And once I recognized that power, I was so hungry to learn everything I could to act with greater and greater potential, with greater power, with more clarity. And that led to not only the success I've had in business, but to what I now call the Full Potential Philosophy, which really is best practices that help you live at a level 10.
Okay, well, that is super. And, yeah, I think what I'd like to do is just if you could let people know how they can learn more about you, because I spent some time on your website, and you got a lot of information, and you have a very interesting story, and I realize that 20 seconds is way too short a time to really get the whole thing in there. So why don't you let people know where they can go to learn more about you and read about your background and also see kind of some of the things you offer.
Absolutely, Avish. If they go to fullpotential.com, I highly recommend they subscribe to the newsletter. I send out all kinds of valuable gems. Avish, I've had you on the show. Every time we do an interview, every time we release a new show, it's all positive programming for your mind, absolutely free. When you subscribe, that's what you receive all the time. Fullpotential.com, you'll find lots of other valuable information on there, all absolutely free. And that's the number one resource I recommend people go to.
All right, super. And you have something like, what, 140 video interviews up there now?
Yeah, we haven't even posted all the ones we've done, so we're pushing close to 200 now.
Holy cow. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great resource. Like I said, the videos are all free, and you know, you've also got a book, and you have speaking services, things like that as well, correct?
I do. I speak on Full Potential to corporations and to associations, and then also I want to be doing events in San Diego starting next year. So anybody who wants to come out for an event, if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get updates on when that event is going to happen, and I'm super excited about that because really that's where the breakthroughs are going to happen. I mean, I'm really about helping people experience breakthroughs, and I feel like sometimes this time is not enough. This will start to recondition new behaviors. You know, I say information is not enough. It's when you recondition a new behavior that causes you to live it as a habit. That will change your destiny. And sometimes the only way that you'll take those new actions is if you have an emotional breakthrough that's holding you back. And so I'm really excited about these new formats, especially doing the events.
All right, cool. Everyone listening, go to fullpotential.com, sign up for the newsletter, watch all the interviews, get all the great info, and then check James out with some of the stuff he's got coming up. And for those listening who are only listening in live on the free version, you can still sign up for the paid version at smartasssuccessteleseminar.com. You will get not only you'll get recordings of all 7 calls. You listen to them over and over again. As you can see, each call's got a tremendous amount of info. You'll also get the PDF transcriptions of the interviews, as well as some great bonuses. So go check that out. There's still time to get the paid version if you are listening free. Okay, enough propaganda. Let's get back to some of this great stuff we've been talking about. In a minute, I want to really dig into those 7 areas you talked about. But first, you know, since we've been talking, since the theme of this particular call is about analyzing, refining, making your plan better, you use this term about zooming in and zooming out to, you know, zooming out to see the big picture and zoom in and getting results. So I was wondering if you could share a little bit about what you mean by those and how we can use them.
Yeah, this really comes down to the assumption that I have that the most powerful people have the most empowering perspectives. And what Full Potential really helps people do is move the perspective to wherever they're going to be most empowered relative to the situation that they're in. And so I use zooming out and zooming in as a simple tool to understand where to move your perspective based on the situation. So, for example, most people, in my perspective, are zoomed in most of the time, meaning they deal on the day-to-day, the hour-by-hour, the minute-by-minute activities that are happening. They respond on a second-by-second basis, and they operate at a very zoomed-in perspective most of the time, and that is their awareness bubble, if you will. All they are aware of is within that small sphere of circumference around them of what's happening, and that is their life, that's what they talk about, that's what they complain about, and that's how most people operate, within the bubble of their own awareness. And that's what I mean when I say zoomed in. You're zoomed into what's happening at the current moment. Now, there's higher and higher levels of being zoomed out. You can zoom out a little further, and you can start looking at what you're going to do in the next hour. And that's going to help you plan a little more effectively than responding minute by minute. Now, you can zoom out even more and say, how do I want to live my day? You can zoom out even more and say, how do I want to live my week? Zoom out, how do I want to live my month, my year? So there's a time perspective zoom out that you can do, and you can go out even to your lifetime and say, what do I want to accomplish in my life, in this short life that I have here on earth? And so you zoomed out and you're looking at your life and your lifetime here on earth. Now you can zoom out even further, which is now going beyond even just time, and you're saying, what do I want to accomplish not only for myself, but what does humanity need? You know, and you can do this at varying levels. So you can say, what's going on in my family? Like, how can I serve everybody in my family? What's going on in my circle of friends and family so I can be of service? What's going on in my community? And you're zooming out even further, and you're saying, what's going on in my country? And wait a minute, I'm not only a citizen of America or a citizen of Australia or whatever country you're from, but you zoom out even further, and you go, I'm a citizen of Earth. And then you zoom out even further, and you say, I am an entity that exists in this universe that happens to live on Earth. So, I mean, you have varying degrees of how far you can zoom out, and you can see the scope of the universe in a time-oriented fashion, or you can zoom out and see your relative existence versus the whole big scheme of things in the universe. So depending on where you're going to be most empowered, you can zoom out or zoom in, and you can do this at will. At any moment in time, your will can cause you to zoom in or zoom out as much or as little as you want. And I'll give you some real practical examples of each, because I don't want to lose people in just the abstract concept of zooming in or zooming out. So are you with me so far on this?
I am, yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to ask next. So, yeah, you're on the right track there.
Okay, cool. So a really practical example of where you'd want to be zoomed in or where you'd want to be zoomed out, let's say that you are with somebody that you love and you're enjoying the experience very much. Would you want to be zoomed in or would you want to be zoomed out?
I would think that'd be a zoomed in moment.
Yeah, you'd want to be zoomed in to enjoy it, experience it. You're actually in the moment. Let's say that you just found out that you lost your job or that you lost a big client and it's a painful experience. Do you want to be zoomed in or do you want to be zoomed out?
Right, well, that's where you would zoom out so you step back and take a look at the big picture at that point.
Yeah, and that's where you're going to be able to look at things and say, is this going to matter in 5 years? Is this going to matter as much in 10 years? What about 20 years? It's not going to be that big of a deal. But when you're zoomed in and that's what you're looking at and that's the number one problem you're dealing with in the moment, you're actually going to cause yourself more pain and anxiety than you need to. So you want to step back from pain for a little bit to at least assess the situation and pick the path from a more objective and neutral perspective and then zoom in, because you can't do anything from zoomed out. You can't just like withdraw and say, forget life, I'm not living this anymore. You have to zoom out to be able to see things from a more neutral and objective perspective. But then you have to zoom in and know where you're going to go. So you're like, yeah, I know there's a fire, and I got to walk through the fire to here because that's where I want to go. And I got clear on that from a zoomed-out perspective. And then the same thing, you know, you can zoom out and look where you want to go in your life and zoom in and step back into the body and take control of where you want to direct this thing. But you can still live with that higher perspective or that zoomed-out awareness of, what is not only best for me in this situation, but what's best for the people that I'm dealing with. You can just see things more clearly from the zoomed out perspective. You can see things more objectively that then allows you, once you step back into your body from an empowered, zoomed in perspective, to do what you intend to do versus react in the moment to what is painful or what you're trying to avoid.
It's funny is how similar some of these things are, because in last week's interview, where I was the expert talking about how to improvise, that's the exact same thing I told people to do, and I used that job losing example you know, if something goes wrong, great improvisers, they take a step back and look at the big picture. So, you know, I totally agree with you there. But from your perspective, how frequently should we be zooming out? Is that something you do multiple times a day or once a week or, you know, when, you know, or is it just kind of when you will? Like, how do you decide? What's a good ratio of zooming in versus zooming out?
That's a really great question, Avish. What you'll find is that visionaries are zoomed out almost all the time. Visionary strategic thinkers are zoomed out almost, I would say, 80% of the time, and that's why they hardly ever get anything done themselves. They have to have a team that is more zoomed in to actually get the work done. Now, some visionary strategic thinkers have found a balance. So they zoom out maybe, you know, multiple times a day to make sure they're in alignment with their bigger vision and their bigger goals and their dreams and where they're going. And then they zoom in and they get the work done. And then they zoom out again because they love it there. The dreams are what juice them. So really it's striking the right balance from higher vision, higher purpose, to getting the work done. If you hang too far out in vision and dreams, you never get anything done. And if you hang too far in, you're never inspired. You never know what your greater purpose is. You're kind of living day to day and wondering what it's all about, going through the motions but not feeling like you're really making any progress in areas that matter to you. So striking the right balance, I would say zooming out long enough to know where you're going, know what's important to you, know what's serving the greater purpose, not only for your life, but in alignment with the laws of the universe, because then they work in your favor, they serve you, and that's a whole other conversation. But when you zoom out and you look at what can I do in this individual experience that serves a greater purpose because it honors those greater laws, then you zoom back in and you know and you have the faith and the backing of the universe doing what you need to do in this life. When you strike that balance, you're going to really enjoy it. When you don't feel a balance, like if you feel too zoomed in, which can happen if you're on your email too long or on your computer or dealing with the day-to-day and doing a lot of phone calls and stuff, that's when it's time to do the space break and zoom out. And when you're too zoomed out, like if you're not getting enough done, if you don't feel like you're making any major progress towards your goals, it's because you're zoomed out too much. And it's time to start scheduling some activities like now, like what are you going to do in the next hour? And when you strike that balance, you'll start seeing results show up in your life.
Well, it sounds like it's just being aware, which I think, like you said, that space break is going to be such a critical tool just to give you that awareness, like am I too zoomed in or too zoomed out?
But if you never take that stillness,
you'll never know. So.
Exactly. That's why it's so important.
Yeah, and I think this zooming in, zooming out, it kind of leads into one of the next points which I want to touch upon before I kind of grill you for some specifics about the seven areas. You know, this thing is about refining the plan. So let's just, at this point, people have been, they developed their plan, they've been working it. You know, how do we use some of the things we've talked about so far to kind of analyze your plan and your efforts and to refine it to make it even more effective?
Well, I mean, we've actually touched on that. Even though it sounds like we're kind of far out in the universe, these space breaks are critical to refining your plan. Because if you're doing it from a muddled, confused, in-the-moment perspective, your planning is not going to be very effective. It's like stepping onto a battlefield and saying, all right, now I'm going to revise my plan, I'm going to revise my plan, I'm going to revise my plan. You actually have to step out, you know, in the general's tent and revise your plan. Now, I do have a tool that I use. It's very simple. Its simplicity is actually what makes it so powerful for not only planning but revising the plan almost in mid-battle if you can't take your space breaks, so you can't zoom out and do a meditation. And it's what I call my power sheet.
Okay.
And basically I divide a blank sheet, and trust me, I've used every app imaginable, and it's still – and I use my iPad tablet, and I still haven't found it as enjoyable as using the simple power sheet. So, you know, even though it seems like it's going in reverse of where technology is going, this is, like, awesome because also it's not distracting. You don't have a bunch of windows popping up and everything, and you have something physical and tangible to hold and carry with you throughout your day. It's a great, great tool. So you take this blank sheet of paper, you fold it in a way that will give you four squares. So you basically fold it once, fold it twice, and then open it, and you'll have four squares, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the top left square, you write down your goal. And now your goal is actually going to be for this week, you know, and it could be three goals max, though, that you want to accomplish this week. And now those goals will be tied to a bigger vision and purpose and stuff, and you can do that more zoomed out at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. So in the actual use of the sheet, it's actually more for just connecting what you're about to do to your goals for the week. Okay, so that's the level of zooming out that we're doing. Now, in the top right square, you're going to write down your tasks. And again, no more than three tasks associated to each goal. So when you fill this out, you have the three top goals for the week, and then you have your top three tasks associated with each one of those goals. So you have no more than nine tasks that are in front of you. Now, of course, you may have stuff later in the week that you need to do or tasks, so don't even write those down for now. Have those stored somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the bottom left square, you have your schedule. You write down schedule. In the bottom right square, you write down time log. And now what you do is you take your task from the top right and you basically say, starting with your most important task, because you've sorted it based on your goals. Do you see how that works? You have your goals on the top left.
Yep.
You prioritize your top goal. Now you know what your top tasks are for the day. And then you start scheduling those things. So you say, what is the current time? The current time right now, Avish, is 1:45 p.m. So what I would do is I would say, well, we have this interview going on, and it's going to last, you know, however much long it's going to last, let's say 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. And then I would write down from 1:45 to 2:05, I'm going to be doing this interview. And then from 2:05 to 2:35, whatever my next task is. And from 2:35 to 3:05, my next task. Now, that's your plan, right? That's your plan for the next hour. And I try to do it as much through the whole day, and I try to be as realistic with my time blocks as possible, because you always exaggerate how much you think you can get done. And that's where the time log comes in, because now I've got all these things scheduled, right? And oh shoot, my mom calls, or you know, a friend needs something, or you know, a business call comes in. And so with the time log, I write down what actually happened from 1:45 to 2:05, what actually happened between the hours of 2 to 3, so that at the end of the day, I can zoom out and I can look at what I intentioned through my plan in the bottom left and what I actually accomplished in the bottom right. Now, again, this seems like a simple tool, Avish, but what it does is it causes you to plan and replan in the course of a single day more times than you usually would in maybe a month or a year. Most people wait until New Year's to do their plan, and then they don't really revise it until the next year. It causes you to do more revisions in a single day to stay on target, and it increases your awareness of what you're actually accomplishing, so that when you start getting mired in details and you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, you're getting distracted, you now have to log that distraction, so it makes you accountable. Very, very simple tool, very, very powerful.
And do you find that after using this tool for a while, that people can kind of reach that great place where they're actually getting more done in less time than they were before just by being aware of how they're spending their time?
Without question. Without question. You're getting clear on your goal. And each day when you create a power sheet, and sometimes I'll create a couple in a day because I'll get through my schedule and I have to cross a bunch out because I didn't do a lot of it. And then I reschedule and I get more done and I still didn't get to everything and I cross it out. What happens is you continue to reinforce what you intend to do every time you write it down. So rather than having something, you know, on a whiteboard or something where you just look at it and you know it's there and you're kind of passively reflecting on what you need to do, every time you write something down, there's a connection that's being made between your physiology and actually writing it and your mental neurology in actually recalling it and seeing it again. So there's actually some kind of connection happening that reinforces what you're intending.
Well, that's great, but let me ask you the question that I'm sure many people listening to this are thinking right now is three goals and only three tasks per goal. I have 40 things on my to-do list I need to get done today. So how do I just, you know, how am I going to get anything done if I only list, you know, a total of nine tasks on my power sheet?
It's a great question, Avish. I have an application that stores all my tasks. I can guarantee you, and I would bet you and anybody else who wants to take on the challenge, that you will not complete all 40 of those tasks in a single day. So what you do, because you want to be proactive, is you write down your goals and you write down your tasks at the top, And then you can sneak in the task that you know you need to do, but maybe you haven't even been able to tie it to a goal. And if you haven't been able to tie it to a goal, it's kind of like, what? Why are you doing it? So it also forces you to think through what goal it's associated with. And if you do need to add on a few things, you're like, well, it's, you know, it's actually something that's temporary. It's a wedding that's happening or something. I have to do some things for that. Well, you can add it on. Like the structure of three goals and three tasks for each goal, it's just a structure. There's some open-endedness in there where you can say, well, this week I have this goal and I have these tasks associated with that goal. And you kind of write them at the bottom. And you're like, but they're urgent and they need to be scheduled now.
Right.
You can still incorporate that into the structure, but the idea is you're going to see the goals that you actually want to give prominence to, and you're going to see the tasks that are like your, you know, we talk about the 80-20 rule. These are the tasks that are the biggest result tasks. These are like the gold bar tasks of your day, whereas everything else is pennies.
Yo, I really like what I like about this is, by limiting it to three, even though you said it's just kind of a guideline, but by limiting it to three, like you said, and prioritizing, it does force you to look at all the activities you've been doing and saying, you know, which are the ones that are really working, you know, as opposed to just having 100 things and got to do all these. So I think that's I do see how just using this power sheet, I'm going to try this tomorrow, just using this power sheet can really start streamlining your activities in day, making sure you're just doing the high return on investment activities.
Yeah, there's something to be aware of here, Avish, and that is that when we have a lot of things planned, when we have a big task list, it can make us feel important, but also there's something even deeper here going on, and that is it can cause us to feel like we're being productive when actually we're avoiding the thing that we really need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is the trick, because whatever it is that you are supposed to do in your life, you're going to feel the greatest amount of resistance to do it. This is something that Stephen Pressfield talks about in The War of Art.
Yeah.
Whatever, and this is almost like a spiritual warrior thing. But basically, there's one thing of each out of all your tasks. If you look at all 40, maybe it's not even on your list, but there's one thing of each that is your calling, that is the one thing that is going to advance you the most to what you want to do in your life, to the bigger purpose that you're here to realize. And those other 39 tasks are masking it and helping you to feel busy so you're not lazy, but it's actually not advancing you in that one area, that one task that would mean the biggest difference to your enjoyment, to your results. And when it's staring you in the face day after day because you've linked it to a task at the top of your sheet, you can no longer hide behind the other 39 tasks you have to do. And this is not just you, it's me, and it's everybody who's listening right now.
Well, that is super, because this whole thing is about figuring out what you really want and then going and getting it. But I know a lot of people, you know, like you said, that and you end up facing that resistance. So you decide, you do all these exercises we've talked about the first few weeks, you figure out what it is you want, but then for whatever reason, you keep finding yourself getting busier with other things and, you know, procrastinating and putting things off. And this really, from what you just said, is going to force people to take action, which is what we really want them to do.
Yeah, planning and replanning and playing with to-do lists and to-do tools and stuff like that, these are all avoidance tactics that the ego employs so that it doesn't have to own up to the fact that it's not serving you, that it's not serving you to carry out the mission that you're here to carry out. So these are all avoidance tactics that, unless you're aware of, will carry you over the precipice of life into the abyss and not really experience what you're meant to experience because you were so busy putting one step in front of the other, doing each task, being very orderly, being very neat, being constantly replanning and replanning and revising that you never actually got done the thing you needed to do because it was so simple and it was right in front of you, but there was so much resistance to doing it that you never actually got around to doing it because you had so many other things to keep you busy and distracted.
Well, that's great, and I feel I need to move on to our final topic here because now I'm starting to feel guilty about the things I've been avoiding doing. No, but that is great. So, you know, we started at the top of this call talking about the seven areas, and I keep saying, well, we're about to talk to it, and then we just get on this great, you know, other topic. So I want to make sure we go into this because if I understand it correctly, there are seven areas. So a lot of this is about balance. And now we're at a point in the program, you know, with our sixth call, where I think, you know, people might be feeling that overwhelm or like they're putting too much energy in one area. So I know we don't have a lot of time. We got maybe about 10 minutes left. So there's seven areas you've identified, and I know you have some best practices to make sure people are getting the most out of those areas and creating a little balance for themselves. So, you know, if it's possible in the short time we have left, could you share some of those? You know, remind us what those areas are and some best practices in each one.
Okay, sure. And you know what? I actually don't want to overwhelm folks with all the best practices. These are things that you can do maybe as you get more advanced. I want to leave them actually with some simple things they can do to incorporate into their life and condition as a routine first, and then check back with me when they're ready to add some more.
Okay,
I think that's going to be, you know, rather than drowning them in content and saying, you know, here's all the things that you should be doing, and they're like, okay, you know, here's my 40 tasks, and then they never do any of them, and they keep replanning. I need to do these things, but I'm never getting around to it. I want to keep it very simple and very laser-focused. So we will cover the seven areas because that's critical. The seven areas, again, are your physical, your mental, your spiritual, your social, emotional, financial, and environment. And basically, the first thing you want to do is you want to have some kind of vision of what it would be like to live at a level 10 in each one of those areas. And you also want to have a reality check. Where are you today in each one of those areas? And I want to help define those areas a little bit so they know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then that's the first piece. So get clear at what it would be like to be at a level 10 and get a reality check of where you are today. So you know where you're starting and you know where you're going and you know what the gap is in between. Now, the physical represents your physical health and your vitality. The mental represents your level of mental clarity and empowerment, so your mental growth. The spiritual represents your level of alignment, your level of attunement, your level of awareness at a higher level. And you just, this is something you just have to kind of sense. How clear am I? How aligned am I? How on track am I in my greater purpose? The social represents your level of confidence, your level of ability to communicate and express exactly what you want to say, and your level of competence to add value in a social context. So this affects business and this affects your personal life. You know, how competent are you of delivering value in a social context? What people find valuable is what you bring to the table. So that's what it means in the social area. In the emotional area, your level of emotion, your level of centeredness, your level of fulfillment, ultimately you could just define it as happiness. You know, what is your level of happiness as an emotion that you experience most of the time? And what other emotions might you label yourself as having most of the time? And you're also your level of emotional control. Things happen. We will impulsively react with a certain emotion like anger or impatience, but how quickly do we recover and balance the emotions again? That's emotional mastery. And in the financial category, it's really about freedom. It's not about hoarding lots of money and wealth and showing it off. It's about freedom financially. Do you have enough cash flow to sustain the kind of lifestyle that brings you ultimate happiness and it allows you to serve others in the greatest way you can? Where are you at, and where would you like to be financially to be able to do that? And also, where are you at financially in catering to your ego versus catering to your higher purpose? Because actually, you could be very rich and say, I'm at a level 10, when in actuality, you waste the money and you spend it in areas that actually don't bring fulfillment, that create envy and jealousy and lead you down a trail that you don't want to be on, and that actually hurts you. You're not at a level 10 financially. Financial freedom, not just in a material sense, but in a very spiritual and emotional sense, is what we're talking about here. And then environment. How good of an environment are you living in terms of the people that you surround yourself with, and how hard you make it not to thrive because of the environment that you've created around you? And this could be you've put all kinds of positive wall affirmations, positive pictures up, you surround yourself with positive music, you surround yourself with positive people. You don't bring others down with your drama, with negative emotions. You have authentic, open communication relationships with those close to you. You are in an environment that you enjoy. It is something that you've designed consciously. So where are you at, and where do you want to be at a level 10 in each one of these seven major areas? And then, you know, I've already given a few hints on how to start improving these areas, but guess what? Consciousness of a level 10 and where you are is automatically going to start you to unconsciously want to close the gap. Do you notice that? Do you feel that, Avish?
Yeah, absolutely. Just by being aware of where you are will start you down the path towards improving those areas.
It's almost like it pulls you, whether you thought about it and you're motivated to go there or not. Now you are, because once you're aware of a gap from where you are to where you want to be, you now have a contrast that causes enough stress. It's actually a positive stress called eustress that causes you to move in the direction of living at a higher level.
Wow, that is great. So you think that's, in terms of how people can get started with those seven areas, you think that's where they should just start, just by being aware of it, and then that will start them down the path?
That's the first exercise. Mm-hmm. So that would be the first thing. The second thing would be to develop a routine and start with three activities that you can honestly commit to. Not just say with good intentions, I'm going to do this, I need to do this, I should do this. But you say, I know in my heart of hearts that I am ready to commit to doing these things. And it should be from one of the three areas. It should be one in each area of, I would say, physical, mental, and spiritual. And eventually, if you get more daring and bold, you can start adding on and say, you know, what I want to do in the social, emotional, financial, and environment to live at a higher value, to live at a higher level. And I'm going to start you off with three things that I do, and then I'll give you one in each of the other areas. But I'm going to tell people to just narrow it down to three that they can honestly and from the heart of hearts say they can commit to. So in the physical, it's just heart-pumping exercise, 20 minutes a day. No excuses, not the gym's closed, because if you want to, I mean, I literally, while I'm on the phone, I haven't done it with you, Avish, but I'll bust out push-ups, sit-ups. In the morning, I'll get up and I'll just do high knees, 200 high knees to get my heart pumping. It's like a no-excuse routine to get your heart pumping. So that's the first thing. And then if you can go to the gym, that's a bonus. If not, you've got an honest-to-goodness, no-excuse routine to be physically active. Mentally, I do some kind of training every day, minimum 30 minutes. So it could be reading, it could be an audio, it could be a video, but something that introduces something you haven't thought about before that helps you to grow. And then spiritually, the space breaks are a great way to center and rebalance. And then also some kind of, whether it's meditation or prayer, something that gets you in touch with your higher nature. Feed on that, some kind of spiritual food. Those three things, until those are solid in a routine that it's like it's the core of how you live, don't even think about anything else. Those are the three main ones. Once you start getting more advanced and you feel like I can take it to the next level, start asking yourself, what kind deeds could you perform? You know, even with just one kind deed a day in the social context. That will start raising your level of awareness and your vibration to serve others. What kind deed could I do? At least one in the day that feels good, that feels right to me. Emotionally, what one thing can I do that will bring more fun to my life, more joy, more happiness? What one thing could I do will not only serve me, but serve my higher emotions to feel good, to feel happy? And you turn these into activities. These questions turn into activities. And financially, this is a big one, Avish. Very, 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 very big one. In fact, most people will probably want to add this one on first, and it's the financial.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to either do the same thing you've always done or constantly learn at seminars and never do anything, ask yourself what's one thing you could do on a consistent basis that you absolutely know would either save you money or bring you more money. That you absolutely know that if you condition it into your life would absolutely change the level of financial that you are living right now. And the one for me, Avish, that is something at this stage of my life I've recognized, it's something that I've kind of resisted, that's promoting more of what I'm doing. I've kind of been creating stuff, but I recognize now that I need at least 1 hour of promotional activities that I do every day, whether that's creating new ads, whether that's making phone calls, whatever that is, I need to do at least 1 hour of promoting my top offer. And so that's my financial action item. And then environment, it's asking yourself, what's one thing I can do to improve my environment today? Is it putting up one quote? Is it playing a positive piece of music? What's one thing I can do to improve my environment? And ideally, the improvements that you want to make are things that are going to be permanent, or nothing is permanent, but something that stays around a long time, because then you don't have to constantly add new things. So what's one thing I could see that would be visible? What's one thing that I could do? What's one person that I'd like to bring into my environment? You know, what's one thing I can do to improve my environment? And then what you'll see, Avish, is that slowly over time, each one of these activities starts becoming activated in your unconscious as part of the new condition, and that will become you, and you'll start living out these activities. And each one of these activities, because you consciously thought about it, is going to bring around high-value results on a consistent basis. And the best part is you're not even going to be thinking about these. They're just going to kind of happen automatically, and it will be conditioned so that you can now start thinking about other things. The last thing I want to leave you with, Avish, to really set these in motion is they need to have something to record the action item every day. So, in other words, I use a program called Touch Goal, but I found another app called Ways of Life, and I found another one called Daily Deeds. So there's three apps they could potentially use to keep track of this. One is called Touch Goal. Another one is called Daily Deeds, and another one is called Ways of Life, or Way of Life, excuse me. And basically what you can do is you can take whatever the core activities you're working on conditioning, you can add it to this thing, like a little list, and then every day you just, bing, it's just a green mark that says, I did this. Bing, bing, bing. And then it'll keep track over the week and the month and the year of how many times you actually did it and how consistent you were with it. By having this final piece of accountability, you are sure to start conditioning new behaviors.
Wow, that is just great stuff and a tremendous amount of information. And I feel like I have a whole lot just myself to think about and apply once we get off this call. James, thank you so much for doing this. In a minute, I'm just going to ask for your final thoughts. Before we do that, I'm going to make a couple quick announcements. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Remember, this is a 7-part series. We're on week 6 with James Rick Stinson. Next week, we got Russell White, who really will be talking about how to stay motivated through this entire process, because if you've got big dreams and big ambitions and you're on a long-term path, as many of us are, your motivation is going to go up and down. He's going to share a lot of great ideas on how we can keep going, even when things, you know, even when our inner motivation goes down a little bit. If you're listening in on the free version here, remember you can still sign up for the paid version at smartasssuccessteleseminar.com. You'll get the recordings for all 7 calls, as well as the PDF transcriptions of all the calls, plus some great bonuses. And if you want to learn more about James Rick, go to fullpotential.com. He's got just tons and tons of free videos, all positive information to help you reach your full potential. Plus, you can learn more about him, check out his books, learn about his speaking programs, and get on his list, because you'll get more information and you'll find out about the live seminars he's going to start doing in 2012. So, James, thank you once again. How about any final thoughts you may have to send our listeners off with?
Final thought is, when you're wondering what to do next, it's time to take a space break. Relax and replan from stillness. That's the best way to operate with maximum effectiveness and efficiency as you're planning your life.
I love it. I'm going to start using those space breaks right away. Thank you so much, James, and we'll see everyone next week on the call with Russell White.